chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. We're going to pick up tonight in verse number 1. We read this morning, "Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." And then in verse number 2 he said, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Let's read some of this down through here. It's tremendous. "To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God." I like this word. I did not realize that this word appeared 3 times down through this text. "But chosen of God and precious." Remember that word. "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is it is contained in Scripture, in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect,'" here's our word again, "'precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.'" Here it comes again in verse 7. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Can I hear an amen right there? "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And we may get further down in the chapter tonight, but we'll see. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the privilege to open the Word of God this evening and to read from the pages of your precious Word. I'm asking you, Father, tonight to speak to our hearts. I'm asking you, Lord, tonight to help us to speak, Lord, sincerely and clearly. And I pray, God, tonight that you would speak clearly to our hearts. Father, I know tonight that, Lord, if you don't come back, we've got this week ahead of us, and we need your help, Lord. We'll no sooner, Lord, lay our head down tonight, and we'll need your help to make it through the night. Lord, it's in him, the Lord Jesus, that we live and move and have our being. Then, Lord, as we start the day tomorrow, God, we'll need you again. Lord, I know that the songwriter said it, "I need thee every hour, most precious Lord." And Lord, I know that in that hour, minutes, and seconds, Lord, there's not a second that we don't need you. I think about, Lord, where the Bible says, "By him all things consist." Lord, you're the one that's holding it together. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are in control. I pray, Lord, tonight you'd speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Last week on Sunday morning and Sunday night, we were in chapter number 1 looking at some reasons to rejoice. And the word rejoice is found twice in chapter 1 and again over in chapter number 4, 2 different Greek words. The word rejoice in chapter number 1 is talking about that jumping up and down with gladness, just rejoicing in the Lord. And in chapter number 2, the Lord has put it in my heart to preach for a little while on some reasons that people don't rejoice, that rejoicing is missing in their life. And the first reason we looked at this morning is because there's some things that have not been laid aside. Some things that we need to get away from and just lay them aside and go on. Forget those things which are behind and reach forth to those things which are before. We find that in the life of Paul. We find it in the text here. We find it in the book of Hebrews. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Notice these words right here. They speak to my heart, which does so easily beset us. I may have been in this thing long enough to know how easy it is to get off track. Amen. I was listening to the Sunday school lesson. My wife and I going to Johnson City this afternoon. And Brother Brian, it blessed me. Your humility blesses me, brother, and that you were willing to admit that sometimes I'm not 5 minutes into the day and I've already blown it. Amen. That's all of us, my brother. Amen. We got our heart and our mind on things that one day after a while, Brother Grizzle said 100 years from now ain't going to matter no way. Amen. I tell you what, if we get our heart and our mind right there, get our heart and our mind on the brethren, get our heart and our mind on sinners, get our heart and our mind on the things of God 100 years from now, that will matter. Amen. That'll matter through all eternity. And it blesses my heart tonight to know that I'm not the only one in this thing that sees there's some things that needs to be laid aside from time to time, that we might seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know what He said? He said, I'll take care of all them other things. All them other things will be added unto you. He was talking about, of course, food. He was talking about raiment. Amen. That God said, I'll meet your needs. And He said He's able to supply our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I like that. Some reasons people fail to rejoice. Number one in the message was some things that something that is not laid aside. There's some things that have not been laid aside. Tonight, I don't want to spend a lot of time right here, but at the same time, I want to preach what God has given me. The second thing in the message is some people are not rejoicing because someone is not living on the inside. Now, listen to me carefully. You say, preacher, I don't know where you got that. Well, in 2 Peter, or 1 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter number 2, the verse number 2 said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. In other words, just like a natural baby desires milk, whether it's from mama or whether that sometimes mama can't take care of that and it has to be some kind of a formula. Some babies will get sick on one formula and make it good on another formula. But that youngin has to have nutrition. And that youngin knows it needs nutrition. Amen. You get a pacifier somewhere around its mouth and it thinks it's got some nutrition in it. Amen. But it ain't got nothing in it. Amen. And so they'll keep on and keep on until they find some nutrition. Just like it works in with that natural baby, when a person is spiritually born of God, aren't you glad? Thank God. We go to hunting us some nutrition. Amen. There's a desire in her heart for the word of the living God. Amen. And so when there's someone that's Jesus that's not living on the inside, that might be a reason why some people go through the motions. Amen. Sunday after Sunday, year after year, and never, never rejoice in the good things of God. Amen. Because on the inside, they're dead. They've never been born from above. I'll tell you something that stirs me up. That statement over there where Jesus said many. He didn't say a few. He said many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have I not done many marvelous works in thy name? Have I not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And he will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. I don't know about you, but my friend, that's some of the saddest scripture that I can read and think about tonight. Those are not folks that spent their life on drugs and spent their life in the bar room. Those are folks that have spent their lives in religion without a relationship with the Lord Jesus. My friend, there'll be no real rejoicing without a real relationship with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. The Bible said here, look at verse 2 and verse 3. as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted tonight? I believe it was the psalmist that said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. And when we get saved, we understand that. Look here in verse 10. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. I don't have time to go down through all of this text, but this is basically teaching us that this rock, this stone, he's a rock of offense to the Jew. But it's talking about how that Jesus came unto his own. His own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The Bible said here, in times past, we, the Gentile, were not a people, but now we're not only a people, but we're the people of God. There was a time when we had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. And that's reason to rejoice tonight. Some are not rejoicing because there's just someone not living on the inside. How many's ever heard a statement like this? Well, I would get saved, but I'm afraid I can't live it. How many's ever heard somebody say something like that? That's a common statement. And sometimes I believe it is actually said in sincerity. The people don't want to play a game with salvation. You understand what I mean? They don't want to play a game. And I believe sometimes they're genuinely sincere. But you know what I always tell them? I tell them they're right. Let me tell you something right now. There's a bunch of people right here tonight, every one of us, that can't live it. And not a one of us can live it. You want to know what the secret to the Christian life is? It's somebody living inside of us. Amen. It's not us doing something, but thank God it's just laying aside the old flesh that he might do something through us for his own honor and for his glory. Paul said it like this. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe sometimes there's no rejoicing because someone is missing. Someone is not living on the inside. Hebrews 11. You say, I got two things here tonight I want to share with you. When someone's living on the inside, you say, preacher, what will the evidence be? The Bible said, now faith is the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of things hoped for. Well, what is it? Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things not seen. Is that right? The substance of things hoped for and evidence, thank you, Brother Ralph, of things not seen. That's what faith is, amen? It's substance and it's evidence, amen, of the things that we cannot see. What is the evidence that someone is living on the inside? The scripture will be the evidence. Number one, the Bible said here that newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. I believe when a person is born again, they desire the word of God. I believe they delight in the Word of God, and I believe they are determined to be in the Word of God. You know what Job said? He said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I mean to tell you right now, thank God the Word of God is evidence, amen, that we've been to the Savior and met the Master. The second thing tonight that I see here in this evidence is the Savior. In verse number 3, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I learned something. I learned something studying. I just want to give you a couple things about the Savior, and I'm going to go on to the last thing in the message. Number one, according to this text down through here, he's precious. Hallelujah. He's precious. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. A person will keep up with something that's precious. How many of you have ever lost something that was precious and it just broke your heart? Amen. I'll tell you something right now, and I don't say this to blow myself up. I didn't plan on saying it. It just came to my mind. I was in Louisiana at Louisiana State Prison down there at Angola. And I was in the prison 3 days in a row. It was long days. I mean to tell you, we went in like 9 o'clock in the morning. And we didn't come out of there till 9:30 and 10 o'clock at night. knocking on cells and visiting and services and prayer meetings and just trusting God to do a work. And that old Bible that I carry with me most of the time has got that big leather cover on it. I tell you, I lost that Bible. I didn't know where that Bible was, and all the days were running together. And the last time that I remembered Brother Jeff seeing that Bible was when I laid it down on that old nasty concrete and put one knee down on top of it and knelt with a man and prayed with a man that asked Jesus to save him that day. That was the last time I remembered seeing it. I come out of the prison that night. The chaplain was all crippled up. He couldn't hardly walk and he had a cane. I can't remember what his illness was, what was going on. I got back to the bus and realized I didn't have my Bible. I'm talking about 40 to 50 of preachers and soul winners and people that love God on that bus waiting on that crippled chaplain to go back in there and see if he could find my Bible. The hopes and the chances of finding it were slim to none. Amen. It had a nice cover on it. And you lay something down like that or leave it in the prison, you're probably never going to see it again. You know what had happened that day? I had carried my testament into the prison. And that day, I had left my Bible laying in the back seat of the car. What I thought had happened that day happened the day before. When I got back to the car, there was a whole busload of preachers. I think God works in everything. There was a busload of preachers. I'm sure that in their flesh, some of them was aggravated. Say amen. They're wanting to get back to the motel and rest a few minutes. Amen. Some of them were going to drive that night and start home. And I'd thrown the whole schedule off 45 minutes to an hour. And I tell you, there were several of those preachers. It said, Brother Vinoy, it left an indelible mark in my heart when we saw you, that you found that Bible and you hugged that Bible and you kissed that Bible. They said, we never seen a man appreciate that Bible. I thought it was gone, but thank God it was precious to me. Amen. Aren't you glad we have a Savior that'll never be gone? Hallelujah. He'll go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. I'm not proud of that. Sometimes I don't know what Nile I am, but I think C might be one of them. Amen. Y'all get that after a while. Amen. But I'll tell you this right now. Unto you therefore which believe, the word of God, said he is precious. I have a precious wife. I have precious children. I get to pastor a precious group of people. And I'll tell you, there's none that would compare with my Lord and my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none so precious as he. Oh, tonight, I'm trying to move on. But I tell you, God is helping us tonight. I'll tell you why some people will never rejoice. They just don't have the one living down inside of them that'll cause you to want to rejoice in the good things of God. Let me give you this tonight. I learned this. Listen, I'm not the smartest fellow that ever come along, but I can study, and I can. God can still teach me. The Bible, listen, in verse number 4 and verse number 6, the Bible uses a word precious. You see it right here. Look at verse 4. To whom coming as indeed a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Let me give you something here now. This is something else. If you'll see this is talking about how he's precious to his Father. This blew my mind when I saw this. Amen. You see here, the Word of God is talking about the relationship between Jesus and his Father. Now watch in verse number 6. The Bible said, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. See, I, God the Father, is laying in Zion a chief cornerstone. The Bible said elect, and then the Bible used the word precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He said, preacher, I don't understand why you're so excited. Let me give it to you. There's a Greek word being used there. And It to pronounce it, you would say entimos. Entimos. And it means valued. It means dear. And it means more honorable. How many knows that God valued his son? How many knows that God's son was dear to him? How many knows that, my friend, he was more honorable to God the Father than anybody else, amen, that's ever existed, amen? Now watch this. He said, preacher, what changes? I can't believe this. It's just hard to see it, amen? I just thought, well, you know, I'm going to just say this. When Brother Mike was here, he's caused me to want to dig a little deeper and just see if there's anything there that I'm missing, amen? It's the same English word, precious, precious, that I just gave to you. In the first two verses, it's the same English word, precious. In the third verse, in verse number 7, it's the same word, precious, but it's a different Greek word. Why? Why would God do that? I tell you what I'm believing. I'm believing that it would be wonderful and to be able to speak in the exactness of the Greek language. Amen. I'm learning that it's a lot more exact. No wonder God chose, amen, to preserve his word, amen. It's a lot more exact than the English language will ever be. Here's the word in the third verse here, in verse number 7, the third time it's used. It's spelled just like our word time, but it's said, it's pronounced time. Time. If you were looking at the Greek word, it'd be just like our word time, T-I-M-E. But it's pronounced time. You say, preacher, what's different about it? Well, the first part here lines right up with it. Honorable. Of great value. But there's two things added to it. Money paid. And a price. There's two things added to the definition. Money paid. And the price. If this gets a hold of you the way it did me, I'll catch you down to red line after a while. How many knows he paid the ransom? Amen. He didn't pay it for himself. He didn't pay it for his father. He paid it for you and he paid it for me. And that's where the Bible uses that third time. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Glory to God, I'm glad I'm one of those yous, amen. I'm glad I'm one of them that's believed. The word of God said unto you, therefore which believe, he is precious. He paid the price that you and I might go free. Hallelujah. No one else could pay the price. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. What about that? Same word. He's precious to the Father. Question tonight. Is he precious to you? Is he precious to you? The Bible said unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean. But the way some people treat him, I just don't think he's too precious to them. Amen. Jesus is more than just a byword. Somebody say amen. And Jesus is more than just a Sunday morning go to meeting word. Say amen. He is a Savior unto us that believe. He's precious tonight. Amen. I can remember, Brother the preacher, Brother Brian, you were trying to think of his name this morning when you were teaching. Brother Rightly Salling, that's who it was. Brother, I want to stay in the field till the sun goes down. That's what Brother Rightly said. I can remember Brother Rightly. He had a unique way. Miss Eve and I were talking about my pastor when I was saved, Brother Bud Wishon. He had a unique way of saying the word flesh. It sounded like flesh. He'd say, that old flesh will get you if you don't watch out. Amen. Brother Rightly had a unique word, a way of saying the word precious. It would come out precious. He's precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he'd say, he's precious. I just don't care how you pronounce it. Just so he's precious to you. Just so you realize, amen, there's nothing more valuable, nothing more honorable. No one else can pay the price that he paid for you and he paid for me. some reasons people fail to rejoice. Number one, some things have not been laid aside. Number two, someone is not living on the inside. You say, preacher, about the scripture, a desire, a delight, a determination to be in the Word of God. About the Savior, I want to just say two things. Number one, He's precious. And number two, He's preeminent. The Bible said that God made Him the head of the corner. He's the chief cornerstone. Amen. Ye then are, hey, listen to me just a moment. Listen to me just a moment. We were out there the other day knocking some bricks out of the front wall. You say, preacher, what was y'all doing that? We was putting in an exhaust fan out there over the stove in the fellowship hall. And so some bricks had to come out and some block had to come out and things of that nature. But let me just say something. God just brought this to my mind. What's it like to be a part of the same wall when He's the cornerstone? The Bible said, ye then as living stones are built up a spiritual house. Hallelujah. The foundation is Jesus. The cornerstone is Jesus. But what's it like just to be a little brick in His wall? I say, glory to God. What's it like to be a little brick? And thank God, nobody will ever come along with a drill. Nobody will ever come along with a chisel that can get me out of that wall. I'm in there forever and forever and forever. To God be the glory. Amen. Some don't rejoice because there's something that needs to be laid aside. Some don't rejoice because there's someone that's not living inside. Thirdly tonight, I could preach an hour here, but I won't. Thirdly tonight, some don't rejoice. Some reasons people fail to rejoice because someone has not learned to abide. Abide. So, preacher, what's the word abide mean? Well, it means, according to the dictionary that I looked it up in, the Bible dictionary, just to stay, to remain, to endure, to be present, to stand, to tarry, to abide, abide. This chapter, I'm not going to get into all of it tonight, but let me just give you, turn to Psalms quickly, Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15 and verse number 1. Let me just lay a little bit of groundwork here and you'll understand. We need to learn to abide. We need to learn to abide. The Bible said here, this kind of goes along with the first point in the message. Watch it. Psalm chapter 15 verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who's going to be the one that stays? Who's going to be the one that remains? Who's going to be the one that endures? Who's going to be the one that tarries? Who's going to be the one to stand? Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Watch verse 2. He that walketh uprightly. See the importance of it. See the importance of laying aside anything that's contrary. Watch it now. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. I'm just tying all this in. Think about that with that first verse, laying aside all guilt, guile, and evil speaking. And what the Bible say over there about grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed till the day of redemption, that all wrath and bitterness and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, for as much as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. What's this now? The word abide. Look at Psalm 61 and verse 4 just a moment. We'll get back to our chapter in just a moment. I'm just trying to lay a little bit of groundwork. The importance of abiding. Psalm chapter 61, look with me if you will at verse number 4. The psalmist said, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I'm going to tell you something right now. That's a good place to trust.
That's a good place to stay. It's sad. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Not fussing. I'm just talking about human nature. And I'll just put it on me. You see whether you fit or not. But lots of times we wait until we're in trouble to run under His wing. We don't have any trouble getting there when we're in trouble. Say amen. But you know what the psalmist said? Or to stay there. Or to abide under His wing. How many knows where I'm going in John chapter number 15? Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. You remember that? Turn over there with me. Let's look at it for just a moment. The importance of abiding. Then we'll get back to our text. I had more examples, but I'll just stop with this one. John chapter 15 and verse number 1. Listen to what the Word of God says here tonight. We need to learn to abide. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. The Bible said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Look at this. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Now Jesus is picking up on this word abide. It's important to Him. Let me tell you who some miserable people are in the world today. They're good people. There are some great people. I'm talking about they're God's people. They've genuinely been born again. But they feel this pressure to produce fruit. How many knows what I just said? I used to go to pastors' conferences and preachers' conferences. And I'm telling you, when you left there, man, you felt lower than a low-down hound dog. You felt like you wasn't doing nothing. Amen? Because there was this pressure. You got to have this many, and you got to be baptizing this many, and you got to be doing this, and you got to be doing that. I tell you what we need to be doing, abiding in the vine. Amen? We cannot produce fruit, but thanks be to God, if we'll abide in the vine, we can bear fruit to the glory of God Almighty. There's a difference. Amen. You have to have an apple tree to get an apple. Amen. You have to have a pear tree to get a pear. You have to have a grapevine to get a grape. And in order to get it, their branch has to abide in the vine. You cut that branch loose from the vine, how many knows what happens? There is no more fruit on that branch. But watch this now. Jesus said this. He said, in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Would you all say that with me tonight? Because I believe it's worthy to say together. Without me ye can do nothing. How many believes that's the truth? That's what Jesus said, the importance of abiding. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. He is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Now you say, preacher, I don't understand what that's got to do with chapter number 2 in the book of 1 Peter. Let me show you quickly. Why are some failing to rejoice? Because there's something that's not been laid aside. Number one, because there's someone that's not living on the inside. Number two, number three, it could be that someone has not learned to abide. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 5 and verse number 9 in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 2. In verse 5, he said, you're a spiritual house, lively stones. A holy, what are we? We're a holy, what's that next word? Priesthood. A holy priesthood.
You say, preacher, when we abide, what are we going to do? Number one, we're going to pray to him, and we're going to pray through him. The Bible said there's one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. There is no other way to get a prayer through. Amen. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for us. Amen. I believe tonight it's important when we're talking about abiding that we've got to pray. Let me say this to you tonight. I'm not trying to be ugly. But I believe in Kingsport, Tennessee, in fundamental churches in Kingsport, Tennessee, we'd be shocked at the prayerlessness among God's men and among God's people. God wants us to abide. Why aren't we jumping up and down? Why aren't we rejoicing in the good things of God? Because we're not abiding under his wing. Stay there. Amen. Tarry. Amen. Watch this now. Look at verse number 9. He repeats himself about the priesthood. Look at verse number 9. He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal, somebody tell me, priesthood. That's what we are. The priesthood of the believer. That is taken lightly in our generation. But God has given you and given me access into the holiest of all. We don't even have to close our eyes. But I tell you what we do have to do. We have to humble our heart. I tell you what we do have to do. We have to walk with him. We have to abide in him. We have to walk in the Spirit. Amen. And we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh if we'll just walk in the Spirit and walk with him. So number one, the person that's abiding in him is going to be praying through him and praying to him. Number two, the person that's abiding in him, look at verse number 9, is going to be praising him. He said that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I believe God wants us to be praising him. And you take a person, my friend, that's abiding under his wing. I'm going to tell you tonight, that person is going to be praising him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Hallelujah tonight. Watch this. Not only will an abiding individual pray to him and pray through him and praise him. The Bible talked about spiritual sacrifices in verse number 5. But listen, not only that, the believer will realize that we represent him. Watch in verse number 12. The Bible said, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Of course, that's our manner of life, our way, the way that we behave. I like what Brother Danny Sykes said years ago. I've never gotten it out of my heart. He said, if an individual believes right, they'll behave right. I believe that. Amen? If there's a problem in the behavior, there's usually a problem in the faith, in the belief of that individual. The Bible said, among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that's another crowd, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. This verse, in another way of saying it, is let your light so shine before men, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Watch verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the church of the living God would abide in him and walk with him to such a degree we could put some of this foolishness to silence that's going on in this country that we live in? The Bible said, as free, watch this, but not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Watch this now. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle. Watch this. How many knows? I mean, in America, an example of this would be slavery. But back here in Bible times, there were people that had servants, amen, and they had a master. You know, in the Old Testament,
if you liked your master and you wanted to stay with him, amen, they'd bore a hole in your ear. They'd stick your ear up to the door, amen, and run an awl through your ear. And everybody that saw you knew you loved your master and you had chosen to be his servant for the rest of your life. Now, I'm not going to have my ears pierced, but I do love my master. And I've chosen to serve him for the rest of my life. My master is in heaven. Why call you me Lord, Lord, Jesus said. And do not the things which I say. Watch this now. You say, preacher, I don't understand what this has got to do. You'll understand in a minute. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle. Some of the masters were good masters, but some of them weren't good masters. He said, but also to the forward. Can I say something tonight? There's some people, it's easy to be kind to them. Am I right? Help me. There's some people, it's difficult. You'd like to give them the right hand of fellowship. Amen. You'd like to knock them into that tomorrow that we're not supposed to be thinking about. Amen. Everybody's with me right there. You say, preacher, what does this have to do with anything? I'll tell you the key. Peter said, I don't want you to just be good to those masters that are good to you and kind and gentle, but also those that will mistreat you. How do you do that? I'll tell you how. Under his wing. Abiding in him. How many knows that as you go throughout a week, my wife and I, we sat down the other day at Cracker Barrel to eat. We were out visiting together, and we sat down at Cracker Barrel, and it's been about a month ago I discovered haddock. I hope you discover it before you leave this world. It's good. It's fish. It's grilled, and I never have found any fish that I like grilled. Everything I liked was fried. Everything I liked wasn't good for you. They said if it's good for you, if it tastes good, spit it out because it's not good for you. Amen. But I found some fish that's good for you and it's good too. And I'd already eaten it in a month. I'd already eaten it twice. And we ordered it again, my wife and I. Steamed vegetables to go with it. You say, preacher, what is the matter with you? I'll tell you what's the matter with me. I've crossed that line where I'm going down the other side of that hill. And I want to be careful how fast I go down. Say amen. Amen. I don't want to end up in cholesterol city. Amen. But listen to me. The waitress. My wife and I, we started eating and we were enjoying it. I got about halfway. That fish is thick on one end and thin on the other end. And that thin end was good. It wasn't good. It was wonderful. And I come on up through there, come on up through there, come on up through there. And I got in the middle of that thing and that fish just wasn't done. Now, you can have your raw fish if you want it, amen? And you can have your crawfish, but I want some done fish, amen? So I thought, well, maybe that's just a little spot in the middle. So I got me a little piece off the big end, and it was plumb cold. This little waitress that waited on us, Miss Eve got into hers, same way. What's the big deal? They just didn't cook it long enough. Amen. And I said to the waitress, I said, honey, this fish is not done. She said, what do you want us to do? My wife said, you know why she said that, don't you? I said, why, honey? She said, because most people would demand a free meal right there. I'm not paying for this. I done eat 2/3 of it, but I ain't paying for it. And I said, well, honey, it don't matter to me what you do. Just we need this fish done. And I said, if you can take this back and make it done, that's fine. And I think there's laws against that. They're probably not allowed to throw that up on the grill or cook it or anything. And so I said, or if you want to bring my wife and I one piece of fish, we'll split it. We've already both eaten half of a piece of fish. We'll split it. She said, are you sure? What I'm trying to say is this. She was overwhelmed at the kindness. Number one, she didn't cook it. Somebody back yonder did. Number two, Brother Gary, I ain't perfect. Why should I expect the cook to be perfect? Now, let me just confess. There have been days in my life when I would have wanted to bite something besides another piece of fish. You say, preacher, why? I tell you why, because I wasn't abiding under. I mean, knows where I'm at right there. We can all get too big for our britches sometimes. Amen. Get a little bit too demanding. I've had waitresses tell me the crowd they'd hate to see coming is the church crowd. Never, never, Lord Jesus, let that be said a Bible way. Let's be kind. Amen. The manager came. He said, sir, he said, we appreciate your kindness. Are you sure there's not something? I should have said, yeah, just sign me up for 20 shares and Cracker Barrel, amen. No, no. We left the lady a good tip. Left her a gospel tract. You can say what you want to, but if that lady don't know Jesus, she's in trouble now. Say, amen. She done got the word of God. She done seen the kindness, amen. You say, preacher, are you bragging? Yeah, I'm abiding under his wing. I'm bragging on him. You and I can't act like that without him. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm trying to quit, but I ain't trying too hard. Pray to him. Praise him. We represent him. We're ambassadors, the Bible said. Then number four under this abiding is verse 21, and I'm done. Well, to follow him. Look what the Bible said in verse 21. For even hereunto were you called. Well, I don't know what the health and wealth preachers do with verses like this. Sister Sherry, even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. How many knows that we're human, and given a choice, we will step around the suffering? How many's with me right there? But according to the Word of God, if we follow in his steps, there'll be some suffering along the way. But thank God we're not alone. Watch what the Bible said right here in the last verse in chapter number 2. It said, for ye were, that's what we used to be, like sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. He said, preacher, how can I know this week if I'm abiding in him? Well, you can be praying. You can be praising him. You can have a keen awareness that you're representing the kingdom of God while you're out there. And then you can follow him. You can get up in the morning and say, Lord, if you will, you lead the way today. You give me enough sense, Lord, to follow you. Because, Lord, if I don't follow you, I'm going to make a mess. Amen. Say, preacher, don't you worry about them folks that's all the time leaning on Jesus. No, not at all. I worry about them folks that don't feel no need whatsoever to lean on him. I'm glad tonight. There's some reasons to rejoice in chapter number 1. But in chapter number 2 in 1 Peter, God comes along and he says, shows us some reasons why people are failing to rejoice. Some got some things they just need to lay aside. It's hindering them. Some just don't have the Savior living on the inside. And some have never learned to abide. Let me say this tonight. You could talk to some of the senior saints in here, and they're still learning. Your pastor will say, he's still learning. The songwriter, I believe, got it right. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I believe that Brother Lonnie, right up until he had that stroke, and then a day or two later he was just out of it, I believe you'd ask him, he said, I'm still learning to lean. Learning to lean. Old Brother Wrightley, still learning to lead. Oh, Brother Jack, still learning to lean. And I tell you tonight, God wants us just to learn to lean on Jesus. I'm just glad you come tonight. Well, I want to rejoice, don't you? Whatever needs to be laid aside, I want to lay it aside. Because there's someone living on the inside. I ain't much, and I know I'm not much, but He's everything. He's everything. I want to learn to abide. Abide in Him. Father, tonight, thank You for our precious people. Thank You, Lord, for their patience. Lord, as we've tried to finish out this chapter tonight, Lord, You're so good. Lord, I'm amazed and thrilled, Lord, that You're precious to Your Father, but yet, Lord, You're precious to Your children. And Lord, tonight I pray that there's someone under the sound of my voice that's just doesn't have Jesus living on the inside. God, that You'd speak to their heart. Those of us, Lord, that have been born again and we know it, would You help us to learn to lean? Would You help us, as we sang in the invitation this morning, to be able to say with Judgment Day honesty, I surrender all. I surrender all. Lord, I pray that You'd take the message today. Lord, may it sink deep down not only in our ears but in our hearts. And may we be more like Jesus as a result of it. Help us to pray for those, Lord, that are not rejoicing. Those that used to rejoice in the good things of God, something come along, knocked them out of the saddle. Lord, it's the grace of God. It's not us. I pray tonight, Lord, You'd help us to be sensitive. Lord, this week, You may want us to speak a kind word. Lord, I'm reminded of something Brother Howell said years ago. He'd say as he signed off his radio broadcast, be good to everybody because everybody's having a tough time. Lord, as the coming of the Lord draws nearer, I believe the times will get tougher. Help us to be kind. Help us to be gentle. Help us to be full of the Spirit of God. Help us to abide under Your wing. In Jesus' name.